Now is he ready?
Okay.
Now we good?
You gotta flip. There we go. Double bird.
Bubbles. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the TNA International Champion, the inaugural Steve Macklin joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. Plasma belt and all.
Sup, legend. How's it feel to be you?
It feels great to be me. I'm in the gym here right now, trying to get media done for the day, and I get to talk to my two best friends. Well, one best friend. The other one, I don't know.
Well, the other one you get to see in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see.
Macklin's in an echo chamber.
It's my garage, so I apologize for the media. This is just our office is currently under construction with a bunch of different stuff since my parents moved down to Florida. So we have different boxes from my parents' house and so it's just a mess.
That's all right. If you turn down the speakers like two notches, that might cut the echo down.
That might do it, huh?
Joel's going to complain about the audio here. He's going to be like, Macklin's frame rates were terrible. His audio is echoing.
Well, it's because I'm in a gym and he's not used to that. So
true.
There's a gym on the third. You know what?
Just because it's there doesn't mean you use it, Joel.
Carrying groceries doesn't count as a workout.
First of all, you get a bubby cart for that, a grandma cart, if you will.
Of course you did.
I live near the grocery store. I don't have a car for that. Why would you do that?
Work smarter, not harder, I guess.
You just did so.
So what do you want to talk about? Jeez, it's your interview.
You're here 2 days with Sean.
Tell me about it. It's called cooking. Terrible.
Yeah, we were like, what are we going to talk about with Macklin? Sean's going to ask all the questions that we have. So,
well, what I have coming up that I didn't talk about with Sean is my Tunnel to Towers walk on June 1st. We can talk about that. How about that?
I'd love to. Oh, by the way, you and I talked about that back in February in our interview. But I'd like to talk about it again because it's been more out there. So give us the pitch on it. And, of course, more people can get the information that we'll drop.
So obviously you can follow me on social media at Steve Macklin on Instagram and on X, where I've been posting the link for my wife and I for you if you want to donate to the charity of Tunnel to Towers for us doing the Tower One climb of 104 stories. Tunnel to Towers is an organization that helps homeless veterans with smart homes, those who've been wounded in the community, in combat, and also first responders and police as well. It helps give back to those families who have lost family members, whether it was 9/11 or post 9/11. And it's a very charitable foundation that my wife and I love being a part of. And we get to walk 104 stories on June 1st in honor of 9/11.
How does one prepare for something like that? I mean, obviously there's like a Stairmaster, but there's like buildings that you would go and climb.
I think it's more about mental preparing. And just because I just got done doing an interview and talking about the emotional side of things and growing up in New Jersey and seeing the New York skyline my entire life growing up. And then, of course, being a freshman in high school when 9/11 happened was a day that I kind of knew where my direction in life was going, and that was into the military. I didn't know what branch at that time. I always knew I wanted to be a Marine. I always knew I wanted to be a pro wrestler, and that's what I grew up fighting with my friends with and playing with toy guns running around. And then here we are as a soon-to-be 38-year-old man. I've done kind of both, and I'm doing both in life. But now trying to give back to that veteran community of that brotherhood and to those families that don't have the loved ones here anymore.
Do you have – so you're doing 104 flights. Do you have a record before that?
No, I don't really. It's the same bench press at my age. I don't even care anymore. I just lift heavy. If I can still do it properly, then that's all that matters, just because it's – you gotta age finally instead of just trying to be that dumb meathead like my shirt says.
I was going to ask about your shirt. I assume this is some type of sponsorship.
Just one of those t-shirts. Sorry, no sponsorship needed here. God, that's why I brought my TNA hat out, just because I didn't want to get any heat. You have to have some type of TNA merch for media. So
you got the title. I mean, that's
I good. Do. Yeah. Plasma and all, yes. There's still blood.
Is there still blood on it? You don't wash it?
Still cracks and crevices of blood with it, yes. but it's well worth it.
Okay, can we, you know the song "Where Is the Love" by Black Eyed Peas?
Where's the Blood?
Yeah, can we sing that?
That should have been my intro video.
Yeah. Oh, we would have got copyright struck on that one.
Probably,
so.
Probably.
Unless like you sang it.
Yeah, well, where is the blood?
People getting cut open.
Yeah, you see, this is
this is what I need to write my rhyme book at the fireside.
So, okay, this is the segment I want to talk about. All my questions pertain to this segment. What were you in this year?
Listen, for the B-Rabbit comments, I was laughing hysterically. I saw some of this, the outtakes on those. But it's funny is like I wanted to try to introduce journaling of how with mental health and PTSD could how do I bring that into my story and kind of show people that. And maybe people are thinking I'm B-rabbing the hell out of it full on 8 Mile. But to me, that's something I've done and I know others do as well. It's like if you can't get it out there verbally, you have to put it on paper so that it's like speaking to someone. And a lot of the times too, like I would have conversations in a book with friends that aren't here or just a loved one that I want to kind of reach to or talk to just to get something off my chest or off my mind. And that's something I thought I can kind of incorporate. And it was Eric Tompkins who originally had the idea of, hey, what do you do journal in real life? I was like, yeah, actually. And he's like, let's bring this into the story and see how it goes into it. So it was just another way of sprinkling a little bit of me in there and trying to get a little bit more detail into it. And we're working down that path as well too to elaborate more on it. So we'll get there.
Okay, I'm going to ask a lot of questions about this segment, but before I continue with this, I do just want to praise like the vignettes you have done, not only this one, but even dating back to before you won the TNA international title and talking about your story and your military background and everything. How much is you in these vignettes, basically? Like how I assume you have a lot of input into this, but like walk me through the creative process a little bit with these vignettes.
So the original vignette, I had an idea and it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago where it was gonna be a lead into a pay-per-view, kind of almost Apocalypse Now. And sorry, I'm just trying to lose my train of thought of backtracking. And I wanted it to just, it was supposed to kick off a pay-per-view when I was still champion, or at least getting to the world title. And I wanted it to just be like a holy shit moment, what just like that cinematic world that just blends right into the show. And that's how my mind kind of works sometimes. I always have like that movie style like mentality with things because that just draws people in. Those movie trailers that hook you as a fan instantly makes you want to go see it in the theater. And I feel that's something to do as well with a trailer going into a show as a lead-in or even just build up to matches. Where I just like, you have to hook that fan that isn't the casual fan, or how do I get more people to get eyes on, or how do I get asses in seats? And that's something to me to just open it up. And I feel as a house too, some fans show up and they don't know what's going on in the full story. So they have to look to the left and right and ask questions, where if you're shown visually, I can now have the match in front of you where you've never seen me before and you understand what's going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So then for me to get these visual ideas out there, I wanted to show my side of things where it's very hard verbally for me to explain PTSD. And everybody knows like the ramifications that come with it and the results of obviously traumatic events. But it's just like you have to see certain things where it just resonates with somebody, or certain little ticks or certain moments like driving down the road, or it could be somebody that's been in a car accident previously and gotten T-boned. Like you always have that thought process so you can visualize it, and it's always stuck in your mind as like just a memory or a quick flash. And that's what I wanted to get with trying to incorporate real life of me being who I am as Steve Maclin into taking my real life as Steve Kubrick and bringing real things into that world.
Okay, let's go back to the April 24th vignette here. I want to like put this thing on screen and go frame by frame on it, but I think we'll get copyright struck, so I can't quite do that. How does Eric Young know where to find you?
He's just Eric Young. He followed me. He was a creeper. He's a ghost that just travels through walls and time, like Joel likes to talk about. But no. So Eric and I, it was supposed to be a year-long story we're trying to build up. And I've said this before now. I've said it with Sean the other day, where certain things changed behind the scenes. And we were supposed to win tag titles at one point. Some people got released. And then some people were leaving the company. Some people come. Like, just things changed. So it changed our entire dynamic and storyline because we wanted to have a good run with it and really build on that bond and that brotherhood. But just certain things happened that we had to change things up. We got to the finish we wanted with the dog collar match, which I felt was perfect for what we wanted. Would I have loved a little bit more time on a pay-per-view? Yes. But I also now look at the outcome of it and the response online from people with the amount of blood, and then also just getting more eyes on the TNA Plus app for a TNA Impact episode. That means way more to me now, is getting more eyes on every Thursday night and viewership that way than it is sometimes on a pay-per-view, just because it's a main event. People will always remember it. It's on the TNA Plus app for reruns. You can watch it at any time. And then also you can go onto my Instagram or anybody else's Instagram and see all these posts of me all bloody.
Why did you take the drink?
Well, because it was a shot of whiskey. Who doesn't? I'm a Marine. I'm dumb. I eat crayons.
He doesn't. You know he doesn't like you.
How did I know he was going to drug me? I didn't know I was going to get Cosby'd.
Why would you not think that, though? You're about to face this guy at the pay-per-view. You can't trust him. Is it because he's Canadian? You're like, oh, Canadian.
But that's the final straw. Why do you think I didn't talk to anybody the day of the pay-per-view? At Rebellion, before I beat him.
I do have to say, you did deadpan very well for that.
Thank you.
You know you were pretty fortunate to, like, fall away from them. You could have fell into the fire, Steve.
I could have been dead. Could have been a ghost, too.
You can't just take red solo cups from people that you're about to wrestle at a pay-per-view.
Instead of the Hunger Games, it would have been, instead of Girl on Fire, it would have been Max on Fire.
you've at least learned your lesson, right? Like, yes, don't take a drink from someone you're about to wrestle, or a Canadian.
Exactly. Especially Eric Young.
Yeah, especially Eric Young.
So you got
the,
and
the tone of the music really set the tone after I fell down.
The music choices was good. I don't know who provided the music there.
But no, it was worth it. I enjoyed our story, and I'm glad we got to culminate it. And again, with the vignettes, I'm looking forward to doing more of those here in the future, which pitches are constantly ongoing for me and my crazy brain here in the gym when I'm working out and losing my mind of just different ideas and watching certain videos of Marvel or comics or just seeing something online. And I'm looking forward to the future.
Actually, I'm glad you brought up music. Your new theme music. That's something that you and I haven't had a chance to talk about on camera about this. So what came about with the change, and did you have a say in your new music?
That's all me. I worked with Loud & Learn. He just did Josh Alexander's before, when Josh debuted as a heel, that piece of crap, quitter. When Josh redid his music, I was sitting there, I was like, something was missing on my end as well, just presentation wise and visual. It's like, I don't want a song that I know everybody's gonna sing to, but I want a song that people like have stuck in their head. And when you have Rich Swann behind the scenes singing your song or sending you voice audio clips of him singing it acoustically and playing it acoustically, I think I did something right. And it's like, how do I get my message across with Front Towards Enemy and like Never For The Glory and Always Front Towards The Enemy? And that's just, it's the same old story. It's like, no, nothing's going to change with me. It's always going to be Front Towards Enemy. I don't care what the fight is or who the fight is with. If you're in front of me, that's just kind of, sorry, get out of my way.
I can't believe I never knew it was Loud & Learn, because I was so certain, but I'm glad you gave me that.
I felt so bad because I was so nitpicky on the voice. I was trying to go for that like Alice in Chains like grunge sound, and we were trying so hard to just get Rooster and copyrights to it with TNA, and I know Tompkins was trying to really work on it for me. I was like, well, screw it, let's do it ourselves. Let's find something new. And that's when I just kind of went about myself and figured it out. And then here I am, like a psychotic human being in my backyard, going through this song, walking through my entrance. Okay, cool. Here's the spotlight moment. Here's where I get my beauty shot. Here's where I get to the corner. And it took me a while to get down because the buildings change all the time. So like I have that 45 to a minute, between that 45 to 55 second I have till I get to the post where you see me with the, when it really kicks in, and that's me hitting that beauty shot up in the corner, kind of like that Randy Orton pose.
Do you have any more good like theme remixes that you sing backstage? You've given us Boner City, which is no longer available. You've given us Douche. Is there any other good remixes?
None that I could think of right now. I usually sing when Joe Hendry's like, I usually say I hate Joe Hendry instead of I believe in Joe Hendry, just because it's funny because everybody's in the back flapping. I'm like, I'm going the other way with it. I hate him.
He's the champion. I mean, he's got a target on his back.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm a champion as well. I have the target on my front because I don't turn my back on anybody.
Fair, very fair.
So that belt is a very beautiful baby blue. Can you show it up to the viewers?
It goes well with my eyes too. It really brings it out.
So I was going to ask, when you saw it, kind of what was your reaction to the title itself?
I was like, sweet, something different. This is a new challenge for me, being an international champion. It's brand new, and you're changing from the digital media championship to this. And it's not saying the digital media championship didn't mean anything, but it kind of lost its way for a little bit, where it was meaningful, and then it kind of got pushed to the wayside just because of different creative ideas and the change in regimes and the rebrand, and just things happen out of our control. But when Santino came to me and asked me if I wanted this opportunity to become the international champion in a tournament of triple threat matches, I said, hell yes, give me all of that opportunity. So to wrestle twice on one pay-per-view was a first for me, kind of reliving that Bret Hart King of the Ring style moment as a kid that I loved watching. And then I got to beat Ace Austin and Eddie Edwards for two talented professional wrestlers. Ace, I don't think, gets enough credit. I think his moment's coming. It's just a matter of time and when. And then Eddie is just a night off anytime you get to work with him. And he's one of those guys that no matter what, if I can work with him, I'm chomping at the bit to get more time and get a story and like really get digging deep with each other and find that good deep story we can tell. And I think that's somewhere down the road. And then beating EY, I don't know, for the fifth time, and then AJ Francis, to culminate as the first ever inaugural champion for the TNA International Championship, I thought was a really cool moment to have.
Most importantly, and Jeremy, let me get to your question. This is international title.
Yes.
Will we see it defended internationally?
Well, I'm trying. I know we just announced that AAA, the TNA and WWE, so you never know where I can pop up there. Do I wish I was part of that announcement? Yes, but obviously I need to work a little harder, so that's okay. I take no fault for it. That just means, all right, cool. They have creative plans somewhere else, and now it just means keep making this title mean as much as it can. And obviously I have a defense coming up soon against either Matt Cardona, Mance, Ace Austin, or who's the last opponent in that matchup?
Elijah.
There was one. Who?
Elijah.
Elijah, thank you. Walking with Elijah. But yes, in that four-way, it's one of those opponents, so we'll see after this week on TNA Impact.
Just show up, Steve. Like, just show up to AAA. Who's going to stop you?
Who's paying my flight?
Sometimes you gotta make your own breaks.
That's true, but
I mean, it worked for JBL. He just kept showing up.
That's true.
That's JBL. Did you guys feel
JBL's just riding horseback from town to town like Sam Elliott? Because he's legit just a Sam Elliott, a pro wrestler right now, and I love it.
Did you guys feel any like extra pressure or anything at Unbreakable? Obviously, the triple threat, there was the talk of Joe, AJ, Daniels, and like how much that meant. And like, did you guys feel any of that?
Of course, it's in the back of your mind. I was like, how are we going to live up to this great, memorable triple threat match that all everybody talks about when they think of TNA is that match most of the time? So, of course, the pressure's there. And then also, it was the extra pressure of being on after a barbed wire massacre match. Which was very hard to do because some of the crowd kind of left because they thought that was the main event. That was the end all be all, because most times that's usually the main event is when you see a plunder match like that, which kind of like with the dog collar match and EY and I, people are like, oh yeah, this was the main event. There's nothing following this. So it was very hard to follow. And it was, I thought we got the crowd in the end, and it was very nice to hear chants of Bulletproof, chants of Macklin, and You Deserve It. And it's much appreciated for me to the fans that have stuck with me and believed in me and throughout this process. But yeah, pressure's always there no matter what it is. I can be in the opener, I can be on the countdown show, I can be the main event. It's just no matter what, the pressure's always there because I want to go out there and do the best job that I can representing myself as Steve Macklin, but also representing TNA.
I'm gonna ask you this because you talked about it in your interview with Sean. You mentioned that you did that last part of the dog collar match effectively blind. How do you feel throughout that as you're kind of ready through the blood and you're getting to the end of the match?
Oh, I was perfectly okay with that. It was very hard to see towards the end. Once you see, like, give me, I think it was Judas I gave the backdrop to. Once that kind of happened, like, his shirt and everything skimmed my face. So then everything just kind of draped over my eyes. So then, of course, I'm here and waiting for Travis to come on in, and I see him charging me. I'm like, well, I guess I'll throw one. I didn't know where it was going to land. So we got to where we needed to, and then somehow he was upside down. I caught him and then hit him with a backbreaker, which was nice. which I enjoyed, just that I came out on top on that moment, but it was very hard to see and very hard to manipulate around. But the entire match, I was very coherent and I was very responsive to the referee asking me every 10 seconds, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm fine. Leave me the fuck alone."
Is there any type of match that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
Steel Cage. That was one of my pushing of for us as a storyline for me and EY to finish that. But obviously with Lethal Lockdown, is not going to happen in anytime soon that I know of. But that's what I was pushing for a while. But the Dog Collar match was also another one I've been wanting to do for a while because I grew up big fan of Roddy Piper in my household. My grandmother raised me on it. So him and Greg Valentine was always one that I watched even as I got into wrestling to train. That was one I always would go back and watch just because of Piper's selling and fire and just the moments of it. But it was a lot of fun. And it was like, it was funny. I was like, oh, wow, we got 1, 2, 3 opponents, a referee, and then the chain is its own wrestler as well because we didn't know how the chain was going to end up at some points. So that was another thing to have to deal with getting wrapped up. And there's moments in the match, too. You see me trying to untangle myself. You see EY untangling himself as we're trying to maneuver.
I was going to ask about food shows, but I think we can leave it for now.
Okay.
Unless you have a favorite food show that you've been watching, because there was a reason for this for our audience.
Guys, Grocery is my favorite. Just because I enjoy watching how they can go into a grocery store and just pick things, especially when they have the stipulations of different items. I love seeing how they can just cook a dinner, especially when it's like the burger episodes. I'm an advocate. If I'm going to eat anything, it's a cheeseburger, and I love a cheeseburger. So sometimes when they're on there, and especially when it's like the judges who end up being the challenge or the competition, I love.
So, I asked because you were a big fan of making chili, and that's more of a winter dish. So
I love making chili, too.
Is a cheeseburger like your summer dish, then?
I think just any dish. If I could just eat a cheeseburger at all times. We were just down in Cali. I think we had an In-N-Out burger about 3 or 4 times. That's become, like, up there for me as a burger. And then Culver's is my other one. Culver's is just dominating for me. Screw Five Guys. Burger Five is still up on my list. But Culver's has become one of my favorite cheeseburgers.
That was going to be my question, is where are you eating your burgers at? So
Culver's. Okay. So the way I judge a cheeseburger is if the cheeseburger and a milkshake work well together. If they don't, it's not going to be good. And then the bread is always the key component to a cheeseburger. If the bun isn't good, it's not going to be a good burger.
How do you take your burger? I know if it's a fast food place, you don't like quite get the option. I'll just dress
lettuce, tomato, onion, tomato, ketchup, mustard, however.
Plain Jane.
Yeah, if I could have a morning after burger at all times with a bag and bacon on it, it's even better.
There we go.
That I love. Yeah. All right. Shall we do partner promo punch in the face?
Sure.
You know how to do this game. I'm going to give you three names. I'm going to give you three of the names that you could potentially be dealing with in the future. Three of them are part of the four-way on Thursday on Impact. So let's go. Matt Cardona, Elijah, Ace Austin. Partner, promo, punch in the face.
Partner, I would say Ace Austin, just because of the loyalty that he has towards Bay, and just he's been sticking to his guns, and I feel he's somebody that's still manipulative enough in the brain where I can kind of meddle with him a little bit. Punch in the face would be Cardona, even though I love him. He's just got a punchable face sometimes.
And you're going to promo with Elijah?
Yeah, promo with Elijah. I would love to just sit there and sing. And he and I, if you want to go back to the past of the days of NXT and promo class, he and I have done a bunch of promo classes together where we'd just have some fun with certain things. And we did one with Dusty one time. We were treating it as if we were in a car ride along and a few songs came on and I Don't Want to Miss a Thing came on as the last song. And it was the moment of like, Tommy Boy, pretty much. Or was it Tommy Boy or Black Sheep? Was like, you gonna change it? I'm not gonna change it. And then we just started singing along to it, and it was very entertaining. But he's just somebody that it's fun to be on the road with now, and especially at TNA and seeing him flourish. And just he got the shaft, kind of like a lot of others. Or you just didn't expect it sometimes from one company. But he's just such an entertaining person, and he has so much to give to wrestling. All three of them have so much to give to wrestling, and have given to wrestling too. So.
I have a partner promo punch in the face real quick. Three Canadian jerks. Eric Young, Josh Alexander, and Joel Pearl.
I partnered with Joel just because I know he's scared with me the whole time. Punch in the face would be job.
You got to do all the work, though. You got to do all the work with Joel.
I can just one punch. I can still punch my partner.
Oh, fair. Okay. I appreciate that.
You never gave the rules. Now I'm changing them. punching Josh in the face. He's a quitter. And I love him. Yeah. And promo would be with UI just because it's you don't know where it's going to go.
Don't take a drink from him. That's all.
Yeah, he could Cosby me again.
TNA Under Siege is Friday, May 23rd. It's going to be in Brampton, Ontario, in the shadows of Toronto, if you will. Will I be there? Who knows? But this man will. Macklin will be there. There's also going to be Impact TV tapings the next night, May 24th. Macklin, put over the SFM one more time as well as your socials.
Follow me at Steve Macklin on Twitter and Instagram, or on X and Instagram, as your TNA International Champion. There's all Steve Macklin bulletproof TNA merchandise out there at TNAmerch.com, and also Steve Macklin on Pro Wrestling Tees stores. And also on June 1st, my wife and I are walking with Tunnel to Towers. We're doing the 104-story climb for 9/11 victims, and also first responders and police and their families, to help homeless veterans, and also to give back to the community of veterans and those first responders as well. So very much looking forward to doing that, and very much forward to looking at these two again at some point. I don't know when we're talking again.
Oh, whenever you want. You just pop on.
Is this my show now?
Yeah, I mean, we got an intro for you. Like,
I know.
You're the only person who has his own custom intro. You
it's
and
funny,
Taylor
I come
Swift.
On here and smile, but every part of the intro video is me just angry.
Yeah,
you don't smile on screen, on television.
I do sometimes. That's I get that question asked a lot, too. It's like, how come you don't smile? It's like, because when I go out there, it's a fight.
Yeah.
If you're smiling during a fight, something is very awful with you.
We'll have Joel update it with just photos of you smiling. I tried to get him to update it with the face you made, the
Brian.
Yeah, the Brian Danielson face. But he didn't do it. He was lazy.
That's one word for it. Okay.
Hey, lazy.
What I
got to
deal with.
Old lady carriage bringing up his groceries instead of using one hand in one trip.
Yeah.
I live up on a high floor in a building. Whatever. It's not important. We're not doing
excuses.
Just doesn't want it. It's okay.
All these excuses. He runs from the grind. He runs from the grind, Steve.
It's okay.
All right. Listen to me not say nice things about Macklin on our post show for TNA Impact every Thursday here on the channel. And while you can watch TNA Impact as well on Access TV, Sports in the 360, and TNA Plus. Steve Macklin, the international champion of TNA. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Appreciate it.
Thank you as always. TNA merch and all.
Look at that.
This is actually a really beautiful hat, by the way. It is
a nice hat.
A trucker one, isn't
it? TNA merch, yeah. Yep. This is one of my favorite ones now. Got into my trucker phase now.
There we go.
The big truck, little truck.
After I got Cosby, I'm going to do a trucking now.
Dan! Yourself off.
Are we going to have to pop Steve off by Steve?
Yeah, we're going to do it ourselves. Thanks a lot, Steve. We'll see you next time.
Guys.
Take care.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.